And we'll read verses 1 through 8 this morning. As you turn there, I remind you that we believe the Bible to be the Word of God. It is inerrant. It is our only infallible rule of faith and practice. And though the grass withers and the flowers fade away, the Word of our God will stand forever. Luke chapter 18, we'll begin reading in verse 1. We've been looking at parables for several weeks now. No particular order or criteria other than a selection of parables that deal with living in God's kingdom. We've looked at the parable of the two foundations, the parable of the two debtors, the parable of the lost sheep and the coin, last week the parable of the barren fig tree. And this week, we'll be looking at the parable of the unjust judge or the parable of the persistent widow. The thing that ties all of these together in common is that they deal with living in God's kingdom, as opposed to parables that can be grouped under the category of entering God's kingdom or under the category of the second coming and the end of God's or the consummation of God's kingdom. These are parables dealing with our attitudes and our disciplines and our priorities and just our basic day-to-day outlooks while we live in God's kingdom. And this week, we're looking at a parable that encourages persistent prayer. So let's begin reading in verse 1, and we'll read through verse 8, reading from the ESV translation. Hear the word of the Lord. And he, that is Jesus, he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your holy word, your will, your instruction to your people, written and eternal. Lord, we pray that you would illumine our minds this morning. We thank you for the parables of Jesus. We know that they are given for those who have ears to hear. And we pray that you would give us ears to hear. Help us to understand these teachings of our Lord and to be conformed into his likeness. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. A parable encouraging persistent prayer. This is a theme that you find in the teachings of Jesus repeatedly, a theme you find in the teachings of Paul and the scriptures. This idea of being persistent in prayer. You remember we looked at the Lord's Prayer a few months ago, and the idea behind the Lord's Prayer was that it was to be daily, daily praying for God's provision, daily praying that his will would be done, daily praising him, daily confessing our sin, daily giving thanksgiving, daily petitioning him for our needs and his provision. Prayer is to mark the day-to-day life of a disciple. And he later, of course, taught his disciples that they should keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. That is to be the mark of a disciple of Christ, consistent prayer. And that's what the parable deals with this morning. And again, context is important. Jesus tells this story in a particular context, and that context is the context of his second coming. Chapter 17 of Luke, we find Jesus speaking with his disciples about the second coming of Christ. And then if you'll look at the end of our passage this morning, chapter 18, verse 8, he says, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes," that is, when Christ returns to earth, when Christ comes back, will he find faith on earth? So the parable is kind of couched in the bookends of eschatology, of the end times, of the return of Christ. And the parable addresses the problem between Christ's first advent and his last advent. The parable addresses the problem in between those two times of a perceived lack of answer to prayer. A perceived lack of answer to prayer. This life seems to be marked, and Jesus is affirming this here, by oftentimes by long and difficult periods between praying to God and receiving an answer to that prayer. What praying person here can't relate to that? This problem of long intervals between praying and seeing an answer to prayer. We live in a wilderness. We live in a very difficult interval between the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ. And not only is this era marked by difficulty, but it's marked by a perceived lack of answer to prayer oftentimes. And the fear is, and the fear that's being addressed here, is that we as Christ's disciples are going to be tempted to lose heart. There are going to be times when we're tempted to just throw our hands up and say, well, what's the point? To be frustrated, to be weary, to be distracted, just to give up praying. Well, I prayed this long and I expected this answer in this way at this time and it hasn't happened, so I'm just going to give up. That is one of the real dangers of living in a fallen wilderness world in between the first coming of Christ and the consummation of all things. And Christ is recognizing that. So this is a parable warning against becoming weary of prayer. I love what Matthew Henry says about the commenting on this parable. He says, "The parable has its key hanging at the door." Has its key hanging at the door. The purpose is given right up front. Chapter 18, verse 1. "He told them a parable," and here's the point of the parable, "to the effect that they ought to always pray and not lose heart." That's the word to us this morning. That's the point of the passage, that we would be people who are marked by consistent prayer and not losing heart, though the temptation is great. Well, he tells a story. And in the story, you have a judge. And he's a corrupt judge. And very clearly, we're told more than once, he doesn't fear the Lord and he doesn't respect men. He doesn't care what people think. And he has no respect for God. So the idea is a man who does what suits himself. He does what's in his own best interest. This is a judge who acts solely to his own benefit. A corrupt politician, if you can relate. He does what suits him. He does what profits him. He does what's in his own best interest. He has no concern for justice. No concern for impartiality. No doubt he accepts bribes, and he doesn't care what people think about that either. And then you have this widow. Now, if you know much about the Bible, you will pick up very quickly that widows must have had a hard time in ancient Israel. You read through the Old Testament, and there are all kinds of protective laws dealing especially with widows. That was a protected class. And then you come to the New Testament and you get the same sense. There are many exhortations in the New Testament to particularly watch out for widows. The idea is that in the ancient world, widows in particular were an oppressed group. They were an unprotected group. They were prone to hardship. So when we read Jesus in his parable speaking of a widow, this is the proverbial picture of vulnerability. In this day and time, this would have been recognized as somebody who was particularly weak, particularly helpless, no means to speak of. This is a weak and vulnerable person. And she comes to the judge asking for justice. We're not told what the circumstances of the case are. We don't know what had happened. It's not important to the story, other than to know that she's seeking justice. And she comes to the judge and she asks for justice. "Give me justice," she says. "Someone has wronged me." And she's taking it to the judge, and the judge refuses. Not told why. Maybe she didn't have a bribe in hand, didn't have anything to offer him to grease the wheels. Maybe he just had some disdain for a weak, helpless widow and did not care. We're told twice that he did not respect what people thought. So he's a heartless kind of guy. Only a heartless kind of guy would deny the weakest and most oppressed in society. Maybe he's just lazy. There's nothing in it for him. Nevertheless, he says no. But we find out about this widow that she has one, and probably only one, weapon in her arsenal. And it is persistence. Persistence. She just keeps on coming again and again and again. Look at verse 3. "There was a widow in the city who kept coming. Give me justice. Give me justice. Give me justice," over and over and over. "Right this wrong. Defend me. Vindicate me." And he's annoyed. We might say she was a dripping faucet. Just drip, 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 drip. Day after day. Who knows how long this went on? She just keeps coming over and over again, asking and asking and asking. Look at verse 5. He says, "This widow keeps bothering me." She keeps bothering me. She just won't be quiet. And because of this, he says in verse 5, "I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming." That's a funny phrase, "beat me down." It's literally "strike me under the eye." It's a boxing metaphor. This woman is like a boxer, and she won't quit pounding on my face. I've had enough. You all know somebody like that, right? I've met these people. It can be torture. She just won't stop. She just won't stop. And so he gives in to the squeaky wheel, and he says, "Okay, mercy. I'll give you what you want because you won't stop annoying me." So what's the lesson here? That's the story. Well, Jesus says in verse 6, the Lord said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge says." That's the key to the story. That's the key to the parable. Hear what the unrighteous judge says. "Because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so she will not beat me down by her continual coming." Verse 7, "And will not God give justice to his elect who cry out to him day and night?" You see, Jesus is not comparing God to the unjust judge. He's not comparing God to the unjust judge. This is a "how much more" argument. If this is true, then how much more will this be true? It's not a parable of comparison, it's a parable of contrast. He's contrasting the unjust judge with the Father in heaven. The point is that if a corrupt man like this judge will eventually relent and hear the cry of the needy, then how much more will our righteous God hear the cry of his elect? That's the contrast that Jesus is making there in verses 6 and 7. Look at the contrast between the judge in the story and the judge in heaven. The judge in the story is a stranger to the woman. Doesn't know this woman from Eve. And you contrast that with our judge in heaven. He knows us. He knows us as his children. Jesus says he knows us as his elect in verse 7. Another contrast, the woman comes to the judge in the story and she's pleading her own case. Help me, give me justice. And yet when we go to our judge in heaven, we're not just pleading our case, we're pleading his case. We're pleading to our judge that he would do what he's already predisposed to do, which is carry out justice, which is vindicate, which is set things right. Look at the judge in the story. He's hostile. He's hostile. But you contrast that with our judge in heaven who is inviting. The judge in the story is unjust. But you contrast that with our judge in heaven who is righteous. The judge in the story is provoked and he's annoyed and he's irritated by the woman's pleas. Would you contrast that with our judge in heaven who says he is pleased to hear our prayers and our petitions and our pleas? You contrast the judge in the story who listens to the woman for all the wrong reasons, and he's only looking out for what's in it for himself. And yet our judge in heaven listens to us because he loves us. The judge in the story acts selfishly. Our judge in heaven acts out of his perfect will and for the good of his own people. The judge in the story would only hear the woman at certain times, according to his office hours. But our judge in heaven will hear us anytime, day or night. And Jesus is saying, and here's the point of the parable, here's the point of the teaching. Jesus is saying, if she got justice from this dishonest, greedy, unjust judge, how much more? How much more can we be certain that we will receive justice, that our prayers will be heard, that our prayers will be answered, that we will be vindicated, that we will be provided for, and that our God will hear the cries of his people and answer them? That's a lesson here. So what's our response? What's our responsibility? Well, the key's at the door. The key to the parable is at the door. Look at verse 1. He told them a parable to this effect, that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. That's our responsibility. Our responsibility is to pray and to not lose heart, not become weary, not become weary when an immediate answer is not given. He says always to pray, verse 1. That means regularly, daily. Set aside some time. Get in a habit. Keep a prayerful mindset. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. The idea is make it a habitual part of your life as a disciple of Christ. Spend time doing this regularly, daily, consistently, frequently, with some discipline, and to persevere in that. And not just when things are going poorly. But even when things are going well, it's very tempting to give up consistent prayer when things are going well as well. Consistency in prayer. Pray. Confess daily. Give thanks daily. Pray for God's provision daily. Pray for other Christians daily. Pray for God's victory and justice in areas where Christians are being persecuted. Even this very day, Christians are meeting to worship and their lives are in danger. Africa, Middle East, parts of Asia. And we want to pray, and we want to consistently pray, and we want to pray for victory in our own lives as well, and victory for our own souls over the flesh and over the devil, and pray persistently. That's the idea. Now, God may delay. God may delay in his answer of prayer. He says, will he delay long over them? I mean, sometimes it does seem long. We don't know how long this widow kept coming back and coming back and coming back. God will seem to delay, but he doesn't delay long. Not in the course of things. You keep in mind, this parable is being told in the context of Christ's second coming. That's 2,000 years now and counting. Keep in mind, too, that the scriptures say that for God, a day is like 1,000 years. It may seem like a long time for us when you're praying toward a certain end and don't seem to see any traction, but God knows what he's doing. There may be times, and many of you know this, there may be times when you are called to pray for years, toward a given end, a given purpose. And Jesus is saying, don't give up. Don't stop. Keep on praying. Don't interpret a lack of immediate answer or result to mean that God does not intend to hear you and provide for you. The time of waiting and distress can seem like a long time, and prayers can go on for night and day. But look what Jesus says. I tell you, verse 8, he will give justice, and he's going to give it speedily, suddenly, quickly. He's going to set things right. He is going to set things right. God is going to vindicate his people. The battle is won. Our life is just a mist. We're here today, we're gone tomorrow. It can seem like an eternity for us. But the parable is calling us to put what we perceived as a delayed answer to prayer against the larger backdrop of eternity and the return of Christ in an eternal frame of mind, and to trust that God knows exactly what he's doing. And our responsibility is to always pray and not lose heart. Jesus closes this section. He says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Will he find faith on earth? Will he find faith in this particular matter? Or you might say, will he find faithfulness? Will he find faithfulness in this matter when he returns? When he returns, will he find people persistently continuing to pray? That's the question. Will this be a characteristic that he finds marking his people? And of course, the question presupposes that this is going to be a difficult life. There are going to be times when we're tempted to give up. There's going to be difficulties that we face, and we pray, and we pray, and we pray some more. And the question is, do we keep praying, even when our prayers aren't being answered in the time or the fashion that we expect? And not just trials and trouble that tempt us to not to pray, but I think we might even add to that the fact that we live in a culture that does not encourage prayer, that actively discourages prayer. We live in a materialistic culture that Wherever you look, the message is given. If you can't see it, smell it, touch it, taste it, drive it, it's meaningless. And Jesus is calling his disciples to see that there's so much more to life. God is working out his eternal plan. I know we read the headlines and we look at the news and we're reminded of this truth that the world is going to oppress Christ's disciples. The world is going to oppress the teachings of Scripture and those who follow after Christ. And sometimes we are sorely tempted to just give up. But we're reminded that we are waiting in prayerful expectation for God to set all things right. And Jesus promises he's going to do it. And in the eternal scheme of things, he's going to do it speedily. And in the meantime, we are to devote ourselves to prayer at all times and not to lose heart. Will he find faith on earth when he comes? Let us pray. Father, we thank you for an encouraging promise to your people. Lord, we thank you for the redemption that is in Christ alone. We thank you for your sovereign control of the events of history. We thank you for your promise that Christ will return and set all things right. And Lord, I ask today that you would draw your people to yourself, encourage them, inform them into consistently praying people who do not lose heart, who take an eternal perspective, and who trust in you. Lord, may you find faith in your people. And we look forward to the blessed coming of Christ our Lord to set things right for all of eternity. In Christ's name, amen.